Join me, Dr. Panico, with Cindy Lauper and Chef Michelle Bernstein to talk about plaque psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis, the potential connection and risk of developing permanent joint damage.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur.
Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com/Cindy.
Are your ulcerative colitis symptoms proving difficult to manage? Tremfya guselkumab can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. At 1 year, many patients taking Tremfya achieved clinical remission, and some patients also achieved endoscopic remission. Individual results may vary. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and TB. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Ask your doctor if Tremfya can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Off the ball, GAA.
The game is much more progressive. It's been much more engaging for people to watch and more entertaining for supporters.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball breakfast.
With Optimum Nutrition, there's more of you in you. Unlock it with the world's number one sports nutrition brand.
Will I do the newspaper headlines?
Okay.
Keep the industry going.
That is Asensio and Marcus Rashford. They're striking up quite the bromance.
Yeah, they
at
are.
The
yeah. Has Rashford scored yet?
No.
You know that. You're keeping an eye. But he's, I'd say, he's about a half dozen assists, is he?
Arthur has set up one of those websites. You know, how long is it since Mayo won the All Ireland?
Just press the little button, yeah.
And he's like, he's playing relatively well. Now, the situation was reasonable last night. The game was over, as Arthur would always point out. He's always at his best when the game is over. But I think that, you know, this.
He's like the PSV boy last night. Yeah.
The season is young, and for Marcus Rashford, he's enjoying his football.
Well, Asensio clearly
playing in a winning team,
playing with the guy, because when he scored a second goal last night from Rashford, he went straight over to him.
Well, because Rashford
Thank
made
you
it.
For that. Yeah, he's enjoying it, but he could have celebrated himself. He's enjoying this guy.
Yeah,
and there he was, got the Bluger player sent off as well.
There was something that Asensio is going to be available for like 15 million. Seems like a good bit of business.
1-5.
Yeah. If that's true. I mean, obviously all these stories get printed and very difficult to verify the veracity of them. England go for all-out attack. Borthwick gambled with three number 10s for Wales showdown. Coach calls for a swashbuckling approach in final day tilt, is the Telegraph. They're called to arms for English rugby at the weekend.
So they can inflict on Wales the record with a win. Is that correct?
In terms of being Wales being the worst tier one nation of all time.
Well, I'm not. That's editorializing it a little bit.
No, it's a fact. They'll have lost more games.
I don't necessarily think those two things equate to each other. I'm not saying.
Sorry. Statistically, they will be the worst team.
Yeah, if you want to say that, that's on you. I'm not. I'm aggregating me. not enough in the
Telegraph. We love Wales. Some of our best friends are Welsh.
But are they on? Was the last game the one to equal it, or is this one the one to break it?
You've been keeping track in this record much the same way as Marcus Rashford's failure to score goals. So you tell us.
Just interested. It's a lot of games.
Even with Wales on a record losing run of 16 Test matches, a bear pit atmosphere awaits England, and Borthwick told his team to embrace the occasion.
He's picked three tens in the squad.
You know,
it's all out.
That's what you need, isn't it?
Finn, Marcus, and Ford.
It's almost like he doesn't know what he's doing.
I would just
isn't it?
That's harsh.
Jesus, what's wrong with you?
Well, he dropped Marcus in the last game, you're not good to me.
You're taking everyone down with you.
I don't need nobody.
This should be a positive Gerard Gilroy we're seeing this morning.
Orthwick set to unleash try blitz in attempt to win Six Nations.
It's funny how
the tries. Come on, feel the tries.
It's funny how that just gets overlooked.
What?
They bet France.
Yeah.
This team that came here and humbled us.
Oh, they spanked us, yeah.
Yeah.
But that just seems to get... Ah, but sure, that's...
Oh, yeah, yeah, not Steve Borthwick. Are you in the clue?
What's he doing?
Well, they lost to us. And we're not good at the minute. So, you know.
Here, we're first off again, are we?
Yeah.
It's another 2:15 for us.
Set the tone.
Taunted.
The party's over after.
But sure, you'll go in. They'll go into that second game, whichever one it is. Ireland will be top.
Yeah.
Probably. Probably.
I mean, you know.
You never know.
Oh, counting chickens.
What day is that on? Saturday?
They're all Super Saturday, isn't it?
Borthwick rolls the dice for final test. Freeman, Roebuck and Smith to face Wales.
Quarter to five is the Wales-England game.
English rugby politics are dominating the English papers.
Any Saturday afternoon.
Halgrimson set to field new faces against Bulgaria. So, Quevin Kelleher might not start. Is there?
I know this mad turnaround now that I have standard Liège in the old live scorer notifications now to see how Gavin's getting on.
He's playing games.
Bazuna's playing. He's their first choice at the moment. Standard Liège, reasonably competitive league, and Kelleher's watching Addison. Be unbelievable. How the turn of tables.
James Abankwa looks like he's going to be in it. The Wunderkind players in the League of Ireland are all playing for the under-21s and the under-19s. So Amelia is going to play against Scotland on March 21st for the 21s. Michael Newland's going to play for the under-19s and the European qualifiers. But Bazuna's back in. This is Gavin Kumaski's piece. Vata is going to play for us, but it looks like Zeffi is playing underage for Albania. So win some, lose some at the moment. Obviously, it's still underage for Albania. There's no guarantee that...
Josh Honohan might be in that squad.
Which?
Shamrock Rovers player, the senior squad.
I don't think so.
His name was mentioned in... What's that paper? Is that the Irish Times?
Yeah, so...
I think it was Ian, though. I read it.
They were... Himself and Johnny Kenny were in the 40.
Yeah.
The preliminary squad, but the 23-man squad.
All right.
It looks like...
Well, we're going to find out in a matter of hours. But.
Jack's back at 10. Well, so we'll get to all the rugby, sorry, in a minute. I'll come back to that. Here we go, OUI, because it's Francais. That's the same headline on a couple of them. Ruben Amorim has challenged his players to prove their billionaire owner wrong by not being absolutely shit.
Prove him wrong.
Villas Brugge Cruise. Bruges Cruise. Ah, I get
the
it.
Old, the old pronunciation would have worked.
Bruges, but
we put ourselves into a corner with this.
No. B R U G E S. Villas Bruges Cruise.
Yeah.
That would be the. But they've gone with
the hipster.
The Germanic spelling.
In Brugge.
Gunners on Cloud 9 with Stir. Does Ryan Sterling score?
Sterling.
He dazzled on a rare start, it says.
He set up Declan Rice. With a lovely cross from the right wing.
Jim is going to wage war. Ooh, everybody's trying to start a war, aren't they? Jim Ratcliffe's starting a war too. A war on wages.
Do you know that?
And it's not just the poor people's wages he's cutting, although he is cutting those.
Are they poor?
He's hard-nosed.
Well, do you know what he said?
The people who are like earning minimum wage at Man United who are like...
No, but he said they're poor. So he said to Gary Neville that they're going to be out of business by Christmas, just gone, if they didn't make changes.
No, next Christmas. If he hadn't made the changes...
But he oversaw like loads of spending himself.
We've made mistakes, Colm. We've made mistakes.
They're going out of business because of you.
He's the one who saved them. He's the White Knight. He's not the baddie. He's the White Knight saving it. But he just can't get that message across to all these people who are paying attention to what he's doing and holding him to account. And not even very well, but they're like at least following what he's doing. And
I don't know, like you drop your communion money on Josh Erskine and then Mary can't have like her chicken salad. Like it's a crazy club.
Jim Ratcliffe has declared war on the bloated wage bill at Manchester United. The co-owner vowed to slash players' pay after years of decline on the pitch. That's the look of that. And it's not written, though. I see it in my contract.
Oh, they got a bit back. Bill are paying off a portion of it now.
Chelsea for Jadon Sancho, but they're still paying 16 million a year for Sancho for the transfer.
I still don't understand that. Is he gone or is he not gone?
He's still technically a Manchester United player.
Yeah.
But I believe the deal is with an obligation to buy.
Let's wait and see how obligated they feel in the summer, because he mentioned Sancho.
Yeah.
He did. So yeah, it's a player.
So they're still paying the transfer fee. Yeah.
You know the antipathy he feels when he's mentioning all these lads by surname alone, like they're just some distant player.
I wonder is that some sort of ploy to seem more relatable. I don't know these guys any better than you do.
Yeah,
I'm just a fan.
I get that, but I think the people he's trying to be relatable to would appreciate it if he called them Jaden. Like, well, he knows them better than we do, hopefully.
I don't know.
But
I'd say he'd never even met Jaden Sancho.
The pair through Gary Neville.
Oh,
definitely not. No. Although he is a Chelsea season ticket holder. When Gary Neville mentioned the dinner to raise money for the ex-players, and Jim was like, oh, no one ever said that to me.
I mean, who's going to tell him, you know, I have an idea here. It's like, we're not looking for ideas. We're looking to cut. Take your ideas and shove them. Anyway, we will talk about the racing with John Duggan in about 22 minutes time. If you've any tips you want to share with us, stick them in the YouTube comments or 0879 180 180. Crowley to get a nod over Prendergast for Rome finale. There's more details are emerging of Leicester's audacious swoop.
Yeah.
Somebody should just take the money at some point and be like, okay, screw you, or if you were calling your bluff. Because what's happening is the IRFU are suppressing the earning power of the Irish players. And the Irish players are like, yeah, okay, I will agree to that because I get to play for Ireland. But actually, they should be getting paid more money on the open market. It's like a weird form of monopoly that they have.
Hell.
And no one, it is the definition of a cartel.
I've never heard it described that way. That's very interesting.
You fix the price of how much you're willing to pay players by saying we won't select you. If someone was to take a case against the IRFU to any court, you'd be like, shit. And what Crowley should do is take the money and then sue them for not selecting him. They should, but like, obviously
there'll be no more silence for the kicking then. That'd be amazing.
That's interesting. I never thought of that. I didn't know, to be honest with you, I didn't realise.
But the players go along with it. The players union goes along with it, and they're like, oh yeah, the players union used to have an office in the IRFU's building.
Yeah.
Is that not like, here, come and have an office with us here. It's probably in all our interests if it's probably in all our interests if we don't pay you exactly what you're worth on the open market. It's like the NFL, the best rookies are all restricted for what they can earn. Like, I'm the best player in the world at the moment.
Yeah.
And you can only earn 5 million, but this guy over here is getting 25 or 50 million playing the exact same position and not as well as you.
Well, I don't know the ins and outs, but even with the NBA, like the Doncic trade was largely off the back of them or Dallas not wanting to pay him whatever the Supermax contract, whatever it is, that I'm not sure what you need to do to get that, but that seemed to be the gist of that's obviously an inordinately high deal and they didn't feel it was worth it, so they ended up losing him rather than just holding on to him irrespective of that and paying them what they determined.
I think the other aspect of this is that it is clearly in Jack Crowley's interest that this story comes out at this point in time, right? So you always have to be interested in, like, is it in Leicester's interests for the amount of money they're willing to pay him to come out? Because I'm not necessarily sure it is, right? So does everybody who is at Leicester, are they delighted that somebody might be coming in at that money? Now, I guess they're replacing somebody on similar money, right? So maybe everybody just accepts the 10 is the goal kicker and he's the one who's going to kick us to Premiership/European glory, and so therefore that's fine. But it's definitely in Crowley's interest that this figure gets published now, and so you follow that back and wonder where's the source of this.
It is if he wants to go.
No,
it's in his interest.
No, it's in his interest if he wants to stay.
I don't know about that now.
Why?
So this reported figure this morning, Rory O'Connor, forgive me, I can't remember what currency it is, but it's 700,000. I don't know if that's sterling or euro.
He'd have been reporting on euro, I'd say.
I think so too, yeah. So say 700 grand, even if it is euro, right? If Munster were to match that or get close to it, you would be by far the highest paid Irish player.
So there's no prospect of Munster getting close to it or...
So that would be a mad decision to make for a guy who's at the moment, the backup out half.
A mad decision for...
Why, Irish rugby, they're trying to...
But he's not
save money a bit, right?
He's
so
not.
They're going to pay this enormous figure to keep a guy in the country who's not guaranteed.
They won't
play.
Match it. They won't. The Ireland thing is their
no
trump card. They can go, well, what's that worth to you? We'll pay you 400,000, and yeah, that's worth.
But like he goes for a couple. Like he's 24. So what would the length of the contract be? Like what, 2 or 3 years? Goes out and plays, come back.
Go back to the bit where it's not in his interest for everybody to know this number.
Well, if it's financial security he wants, right, and if money is a big part of it, like he's screwed now, like because he needs to go to Leicester, because there's not a world where he's going to get that money in Ireland.
But what by putting this number out,
right,
it increases the amount of money that he'll get from Munster.
So he's on about what? We don't know what he's on now, but it's about maybe let's say it's about $250,000 a year, maybe. It's an awful lot more, obviously. It's over double. They're not going to get near it, really. So he goes, okay, so I'll stay in Ireland. I'll play for Munster, fair enough.
But
I'm not guaranteeing my place in Ireland. With the national side.
How does it damage him for the number to come out?
Because he'll get a bit more money, but he won't get as much money for Leicester, and there's still no guarantee he's playing for Ireland. So why would you not go?
He's getting a bit more money.
They get a little bit more money now if they give him a new deal.
Well, they're obviously going to give him a new deal.
Right.
They've no one else.
And they give him a bit more money.
They've got JJ Hanrahan for next season, who isn't going to play for Ireland,
but
has had put together a brilliant career for himself, and actually I think is an interesting model for players who aren't going to make it to the international level. Go off to France, go off and see a bit of the world and make as much money as you possibly can, and then continue to play at a very high level. I think he's going to be a monstrous record scorer. But Crowley is ratcheting up the pressure on the IRFU to improve their offer.
Improve it, yeah.
And to...
I'm doubting it won't be improved.
What?
I'm not doubting it won't be improved.
Well then, so getting the number out there has improved his bargaining position.
To get a little bit more money, yeah. But actually have this, you know, reported actual offer of salary over at Leicester. That's actually guaranteed. There's no way these guys are going to pay me as much as that. I'm suddenly not the first choice 10, even though I won the Six Nations last year as the 10 who played every minute of it. And now I'm out. I haven't done anything wrong, really. They don't really appreciate me too much.
So
I'm going to take these lads who really appreciate me, who want me to be the new Andre Pallard.
I don't really understand your point.
What don't you understand about it?
It's 100% in his interest for this number to come out. Because...
Yeah, I said that too, though.
You said the opposite.
Yeah. I said it's his interest to go to Leicester.
So your debate is that
an interest for the Irish perspective for him that he's going to stay here.
It strengthens his bargaining position.
Yeah, but he's not going to get near that figure.
But he gets to play for Ireland if he stays.
He doesn't, does he?
Well, he doesn't. He gets to be in the squad. Like he was still an Ireland player.
He's
going
to be in the squad. He's not even getting to play in his own position. But he's in the squad at the moment.
He's starting the game this weekend.
That's this weekend. Yeah,
this weekend.
Is there a world look? They give him a new contract, and it's like, okay, you're back to being our first choice now.
So much of what we want to do can seem impossible, but the highest achievers among us are the people still reaching for something. The ones who aren't satisfied to stay where they are and want to keep climbing higher. It's those people who approach the impossible and embrace it. There's a vehicle for people like that. It's called the Defender. The Defender is an icon reimagined through thoroughly modern design. It's got a tough, rigid body design and durable, lightweight monocoque architecture for extra strength. With precise detailing and compelling proportions, the exterior of the Defender is designed with integrity. This is a vehicle capable of great things, engineered to meet challenges head-on with an exterior that's been tested to the extreme. Experience the Defender's legendary capability off-road and on. And there's a family of vehicles for Defender. Meet the Defender 90, Defender 110, and the 8-seat Defender 130. So, are you ready to embrace the impossible? Explore the Defender at LandRoverUSA.com.
Coming soon to your Off the Ball podcast feed.
I'm nervous. Police will use tear gas.
Yes. Oh, Jesus!
You're looking at two of the best professional wrestlers in Mexico City.
Saying we won after your team's won a football game is like saying I had sex after I'm watching porn.
So if you hear anything about the Gringo Loco, that's me, okay?
We were on our own at 3,600 meters.
We have that mark as narcos, cocaine, violence as a fabulous, rewarding.
To be honest with you, if I never see Route 40 again, I will be a happy, happy man.
Diverted, a 10-part Off the Ball original series telling the story of sport and other things all the way through Latin America.
I thought Route 40 was the most lonely road in the world. Turns out Route 25 is somehow even lonelier.
Available soon for free on the OTB app.
Okay, let's just go back. Let's wind back 2 seconds, right? What I'm talking about here is this story and how this story is has come to be part of the public's consciousness. It's in Jack Crowley's interest that this number gets published publicly. So I'm talking about how this whole thing works. And my take on this is that it is purely a negotiating ploy and that no 24, 25, 26, 27-year-old in the peak of their career are going to leave when they believe they have a chance of being number one in their position. Ben Healy clearly did not believe he had a chance of being number one and was offered a route into international rugby with Scotland, and so he left. And I think he was probably right to leave. He hasn't kicked on, and there's no sense of him being the Scottish number one or the natural successor to Finn Russell whenever that happens. And maybe in the next 18 months he does kick on. Crowley clearly believes and has backed himself at every step of the way to get into the Ireland setup. And this story has come out. There's like, he's definitely not doing this. He's not named in the team this weekend because of the story. But I'm sure it's like a little contributory factor. It's like, I know we're lowballing you on the offer at the moment. But, it's 700 grand you've been offered. Oh, that's different.
We'll give you
an extra 50 grand, an extra 100 grand,
400 to say.
So winner, chicken dinner.
No, look, the smart money is absolutely that he's sitting on a nice table with a pen and he's looking up, smiling at the camera. He's staying on. That's the smart money. But he does have this actual, tangible, real offer away.
Well, that's what's reported,
of course. Yeah, we're all.
But Leicester aren't telling everybody. Leicester aren't telling everybody that they're offering 700 grand euros to an out half to replace. They just aren't.
No.
Because then everybody at Leicester is like, hang on a second. What? That guy's not even a full international at the moment. Sorry, not first choice international. He's obviously clearly a full international. No, that guy's not first choice international. No, I'm the number one in my spot. I want 700 grand. So
yeah, well, of course, whether they did or didn't, I mean, Rory O'Connor's reporting the figure, so it's out there, so they're going to find out anyway. The players know that anyway at Leicester. Oh my God, is this what this guy is potentially being offered?
They didn't know it.
But they don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's out now.
So Leicester didn't tell everybody the number.
Okay, but so Rory found out about the number.
Yeah, so I mean, what I'm trying to breadcrumb here is that this is all clearly coming from one camp.
Okay,
that's my.
So it just seems to me at the moment it's like, geez, I thought it would definitely stay at Ireland and Munster when the story broke. Was it 2 days ago? I was like, well, this is stupid. Like he's not going to go. It's definitely not going to go. And then as time goes on, it was like, he's 24, could do a couple of years, come back. He'd be forgiven for doing that. Very well has an Ireland Part 2 career ahead of him. And also, I still go back to what I said yesterday. The whole thing about not being able to play for Ireland because he played abroad is complete bullshit. And he should be allowed to do this. Like, this shouldn't even be that much of a decision to make. He should be free to play for Ireland when playing for Leicester.
From an employment law perspective,
what was the criteria about Johnny Sexton?
We've got nobody else.
Yeah. So when he was at Racing, he was like, I know, we'll keep Johnny all right.
Yeah.
Oh, she can be sure. If
there's a will, there's a way. Like,
if Sam Prendergast was entertaining an offer from Toulon, I think that rule might be relaxed again.
He hasn't reached the level that
I'm just saying. Fine, in 2 years' time,
yeah,
after
okay.
Whatever.
If he's won a slam,
well, you know, it's an interesting point you bring up there, because say La Rochelle signed Sam Prendergast, right? Just to give a random club as an example. And then Jack Crowley says, Leicester, I'll take you up on your offer, thank you. And then they both go, right? This is hypothetical, of course. Then it was like, well, we're going to have to break that rule now because our two stars are gone. You know, this is, it's just rugby hamstringing itself crazily. Right. We shouldn't even be debating about this. Like, this should be very simple.
Do you want me to make the other side of it? Like, I do think it's a cartel, but like,
no,
it clearly.
Don't have to make. No, stay with what you feel.
No, but I think that dismissing it as crazy, it's not actually crazy for Irish rugby. It is the reason why Irish rugby is successful, is that we have control over their players. They don't get injured. They get injured unless they are. Look what's happening with England at the minute, where they've tried this system and they haven't managed to make it work. Where there's a mad row about a player getting injured and the care that he got and not getting surgery at the right time. Everybody in Ireland are asked to peak exclusively for the Irish national team. And then afterwards, the clubs are like, okay, we will work around your schedule. In England, the players play for their clubs and then get selected and taken out. And the ones who are paying the vast majority of their wages in most cases, and although they're trying to change it, are the clubs. So they've got first call. If we were to allow everybody to go all over the world, mm-hmm. you'd have our best players playing in France, our second tier of players playing in England, and there'd be 5,000 watching Munster, and there'd be 7,000 watching Leinster if we were really lucky, and there'd be 1,500 watching Connacht, and the game would collapse.
Yeah, look, there's a potential naivety to the statement, because it's just, you know, imagine they adapted that rule in football, like we'd have a national side full of League of Ireland players, which obviously would be great in many ways, but it's just it just seems very close-minded and silly. Like, what are the exceptions to the rules? So Dan Carter, when he was at Perpignan, played for the All Blacks. Sexton at Racing. It's only about a handful, is there? And it's not really explained. Is that it's just like, well, we have to play them.
Oh, well, loads of different countries have different rules. It's not a...
Okay, let's say tier one countries.
Well, Scotland have different rules. Wales have a 70 cap
Africa,
rule.
They make it work.
Australia
can make it work.
Like in terms of allowing their players go.
Yeah. So why did they? Yeah. Well, so why did they do that? And they're world champions. It works for them.
Because their economy isn't very strong.
Their economy isn't strong. So, but to your argument there, if you're letting Munster players go away, then the crowd lessens in Thomond. So that disimproves the economy further.
No, the actual economy. The South African economy isn't very strong, so players can go and earn fortunes all around the world. And also, they probably have way more players than anybody else. So the rule isn't uniform across all the countries, first off. We decide, Ireland gets to decide if they want their players to play abroad or not and continue to be selected. They made this decision. They made the... Tommy Bowe, as he played in Wales, and was continued to be selected. And then after that, they were like, okay, no more... I personally think that we should be sending some of our young back rows away and some of our props away.
Oh yeah,
and saying, okay, you're good enough, off you come. And in emergency situations, there should be flexibility around these rules. But then it becomes like, oh, that emergency situation, it only applies to province X or player Y.
What is it?
I think the only thing that makes it strange for me is that when you have that rule, and again, I can appreciate both sides, but when you have that rule, and then from, say, Leinster's perspective, they bring in Jordy Barrett, because Leinster's primary aim, obviously, as a club, apart from the international thing, is to win the Champions Cup. So there's a strange thing to me that you're like, okay, we're going to have complete control over all our players, we're going to develop them all here at home, and that's going to be the primary aim, and that's clear, and that's the business model, and it's, to be fair, business is booming. But then you do, doing that is quite a strange, I appreciate it, it drives up revenue, it improves Leinster, everything like that.
And that's
helps.
I think it's as simple as that.
It all helps. But it's also counterintuitive to go, we're going to give one of New Zealand's best players the chance to come and experience another culture, another sport and environment, everything like that. And that's great. And he'll come and he'll experience that. He'll benefit from playing in our world-class system against all these brilliant teams in France and everything else. The opposite can't happen. We can't. If you leave, if Jack Crowley goes and takes a big money move in Leicester, goodbye, you're gone. We'll call you. That's a strange dichotomy to it. And I don't know if that's necessarily, I know they're at different points of their career and Jordy Barrett's probably earned the right. He has the credit in the bank that he can go and do that for a set period of time and he'll come back and that's fine. I do get that. But it is a strange thing that you're like, okay, but this 12, whatever month it is, this seasonal period that he's here, someone else is not going to be playing that we're keeping in the country with the direct intention of improving for the Irish system. That's a weird one.
I think it's an excellent point about us not milking the system and sending our players off for 6 months or 12 months and going off. And because it seems like travel benefits the mind. It seems to broaden horizons. It's a new opportunity for you to experience something different. And I actually think that's a good point. We should be encouraging our 22 to 26, 28-year-olds to go off and have a couple of years and come back. And if they play amazingly well while they're over there, we're like, okay, well done, congratulations. Straight back in the team.
Crowley could go there's a world where Jack Crowley signs a 2-year deal on 700k a year. All right? So it's like just shy of 1.5 million for himself.
So in the summer back, of the World Cup.
Just in time for the World Cup. He's a richer man. Comes back in contention.
I do think some player somewhere along the line needs to call the RFU's bluff and go, right, okay, don't pick me then. Who are you going to pick?
He would start something here for sure. Absolutely, if he took this deal, this reported deal.
But I honestly just think all of this is pure negotiation tactics.
You were probably going to be right in that.
From the agents, because they do all grow up dreaming of playing for Ireland. They all have pretended in the back garden to be kicking the drop goal that wins the World Cup quarter final.
In 2020, Ronan O'Gara gave Jack Crowley the opportunity to join him at La Rochelle. And at that time, he was an unestablished player, and he said, no, I'm backing myself to make it in Munster in Ireland. And I'm sure he backs himself just as much to win back the jersey with Ireland.
So let's just play out what's likely to happen here. The Ireland team has been named, and it's very strong, or it's about to be named, and it's been leaked to the papers, and it's very strong.
They're resting the old half, yeah.
It does sound like Dara had it almost 100% correct yesterday, with the exception that...
He's very good, he's very sharp.
That
put that through there in the attack.
Cian Healy might not be on the bench, that he's had his goodbye and he's finished, and that actually Jack Cronin will start. What?
Not even on the plane.
Out of the WhatsApp group.
That Jack Cronin will start at six. So it's going to be a very strong team. Ireland are going to win this game, more than likely. If the form follows and if the bookmakers' odds are correct, Ireland will win the game, which means Jack Crowley will play well.
And I'll be like, why wasn't Crowley starting the whole time? Which will be the...
So welcome back to the controversy.
Response.
There's a battle for the 10 spot. There was no battle. He was anointed. Finished.
It's not a battle. It's in spite of... It's nothing to do with Crowley, really. Like, it's the performance, the perceived performance of Prendergast in the last few games, and
Crowley,
particularly the last one.
Great around the camp. As Andy Dunn pointed out, could have been glory hunting, decided not to glory hunt, did everything was asked of him.
But
in multiple positions, not just fullback.
There is actually no rivalry at the moment because Crowley hasn't played 10 in ages.
You know, he's going to play this weekend, is my point. So I'm asking you to pitch forward to next week, right? After we win this game and play well. They've got a good team out. Our back three is back.
You know the answer to that question. Of course, everyone's going to say it should be Crowley. Of course, they will. They're going to almost certainly win the game. And as you say, he's probably going to play well because they're going to win the game. And they'll be like, this should have been happening all along. Crowley should have been playing. Why was he dropped in the first place? And then the public perception goes against Prendergast and back on Crowley. I hope he stays. And then he signs a new deal. Great. We're back on. The rivalry is up and alive because at the moment there is no rivalry at the moment.
So this is all just posturing to get a new deal.
The interesting thing about that though, again, kind of wargaming it a little bit, the next few months play out. Prendergast is the starter for a Leinster team that probably gets semi-final, final champions football release. He probably plays well in those teams, as you're saying, with the same metric. Probably does all right. All the better for last weekend. Then the Lions comes along. So that's named, I think the team is named May, or the squad, is it May 8th or something like that?
That's after the semi-final weekend.
Okay, great.
I have to assume that they have a fair idea after this round of fixtures who the three out halves travelling will be.
So one game, almost certainly one of the two, as things stand, you'd probably go Prendergast. Crowley, probably not within an ass roar at this stage, get picked for that. So that means that after... That means Sam Prendergast probably won't play for Ireland again until November.
Yeah.
Since last weekend. So then it's just a very interesting thing when you talk about battle. You're like, okay, realistically, he doesn't play again for Ireland until those November internationals. I'm not sure which way it works, if it New Zealand is the next time he plays for Ireland. And then you have, we're in the exact same position as we are now, where it's like you're going to have, from no games, you'll have a case of about 7 or 8 in the course of 2-3 months.
Yeah.
So when it gets to that point, when you're talking about a battle.
Very, very important games, because your world ranking
huge games. Yeah. So what are you going to do?
Friendlies.
But what's going to determine, in the interim, in all likelihood, Sam Prendergast is going to have a far greater area of time, be it with Leinster, or be it if he gets selected in the squad with the Lions.
See, I don't think he's getting selected in the squad with the Lions.
So no Irish out half goes?
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I think it's up for grabs now, right?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think they're looking at Italy game and saying, oh, you know what, Jack?
No. It's up for grabs whether or not Prendergast is in the squad.
This is my point. That's my point. He'll play in a Leinster team that's winning. So with the same metric that we're talking about Crowley's again, he'll be in a team that's winning over the next few months. In an astonishing team, you know, maybe the best club team in Europe.
He'll be playing central to that team. So he's only going to have further chances to enhance his ability to get in. You know what I mean? Well, like he has numerous, whereas Crowley probably doesn't, realistically.
There is a world in which Munster go to La Rochelle and win, right? And he kicks the winning penalty 84 minutes in, or a drop goal 85 minutes in after, like that's not beyond the bounds of possibility at the moment with the form that the two teams are in. Is it? It's not like, I haven't checked the odds. I'd say bookmakers would be very reluctant to offer a spread on that at the moment. But the spread is going to be 5 to 9 points, I think, as a non-bookmaker. I think, like...
There is a word.
Yeah, like, you're very sceptical, fair enough.
I just don't know the battle element of it. I think it's kind of sewn up that whoever's evidently the starting 10 come November into that Six Nations
will roll on.
That's your guy. Okay, you're not experimenting then at that stage.
Look, I hate this time will tell bollocks because I disagree with you, right?
So who do you think will be?
I think that they're going to now start alternating to see
to your point that those autumn internationals are vital for things.
And they don't know now who the best player is.
I think they do.
You think it's Prendergast?
I think they think that.
And then why aren't they picking him this weekend?
Because he's had a tough few weeks in his career where it's like he's never done this before. There's no need to go. And like you're trying to keep both guys happy as much as you can. But the fact of the matter is when the chips were down and they wanted, who do we put in here to win the biggest game of our year until kind of this calendar, this kind of season? It's our biggest game of the season on Saturday last. They picked the guy who on the face of it had less experience, less everything else, but possibly more upside.
And how'd it work?
Well, but if you're thinking that they're so short-sighted that they'll go, oh, that's changed our thoughts for that. Well, throw all that out. You got him wrong.
I don't think so that's binary. There's a bit where he's not quite ready yet. He will get there, but he's not quite ready yet. And in November, every game will count towards world ranking. Whereas this was like, are we going to do three in a row? We don't even have our head coach. Let's get the kid in, see how he does. He did really well in some aspects, and there are other aspects now that we're going to go, you need to fix this, this and this, and we know far more about it than we did previously.
If they're truly undecided, Ireland, about who their starting 10 is, there's a world where Andy Farrell leaves both of them out of the Lions squad and then comes back as Ireland boss and was like, I couldn't decide between both of you, so I didn't bring either of you. We're starting from zero now, let's go. So he brings the Smiths, no relation, and Russell, and they're your 10s.
There's every chance. Like it would be a bit of a stretch, probably, to unless you know if you're not bringing, you're not going to. Neither of them are going to start. Put it that way. I think at this stage.
So yeah, he might, politically.
Unless Prendergast has an amazing Champions Cup run in from here, which he could.
No, yeah,
definitely could.
We do have to move on.
Off the ball, breakfast
with Optimum Nutrition. There's more of you in you. Unlock it with the world's number one sports nutrition brand.